Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. So all throughout the offseason, ever since the draft went, or really ever since probably the day after the Super Bowl, when the power rankings come out, when the predictions come out, and then as we go on throughout the offseason and the Vegas odds come out, and then every national talking head, every NFL insider, every NFL reporter comes up with their power rankings for the season or their projected records for the season or who they're picking to win each division. It's always been the same, where the Titans are, you know, well down on the bottom of the power rankings list. I believe on ESPN's power rankings, the Titans are 27th, 28th, somewhere along those lines. Low. I don't know if I've seen any national talking head reporter, whoever it might be, pick the Titans to win the AFC South. I've seen a whole lot of people pick the Jags to win the AFC South, the Jags to be a top 10 team in the NFL this upcoming season. But we're all just kind of used to that, right? That's kind of how we've couched every argument or conversation surrounding preseason expectations is everybody's always going to forget about the Titans. Nobody's going to give the Titans the benefit of the doubt.
It's obviously they did not heed to the movie Remember the Titans. If they're all forgetting about
if you're forgetting about the Titans,
you need to maybe rewatch Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans. I mean, it's a clear message. We've always said, you know, the Titans aren't going to get the benefit of the doubt. They're not in a big market. They don't have a sexy quarterback. It's like, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. They're always going to be talked about. The Cowboys are the Cowboys. The Niners are the Niners. The Packers are the Packers. They're the sexy teams. The Titans aren't a sexy team. And that's fine.
Right.
We can live with that.
Same thing with Carolina. There's some other teams that are kind of in that category. It was interesting because we're still kind of getting used to the Jaguars getting all of the attention and all of the preseason predictions going their way for the most part, which we thought, because we'll see how they handle that, right? Because they're not used to getting any spotlight.
And now it's
when they
have,
it's been
MVP.
For the wrong reasons, because Urban Meyer is dancing in a club with a straight woman or something like that, or signing Tim Tebow, or
kicking his kicker,
forgetting the name of his safety. You know, there's any number of things.
The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
Don't let Swamp Kings fool you. Urban Meyer doesn't necessarily have the cleanest resume throughout his tenure as a head coach. So we're just kind of used to that, unfortunately. And I know it's frustrating to Titans fans, but it is what it is. But maybe the narrative is starting to change a little bit. Maybe the conversation has changed just a little bit based off of this article that you found on SI.com.
I don't necessarily think the narrative is going to change. I think most people are still going to pick the Jaguars. But this was interesting. Connor Orr, who I think is a pretty creative, interesting guy who covers the league for MMQB, which is tied into Sports Illustrated. He does a really good podcast. He's got some good people on there with him. But this is what he does. He basically predicted every single game with their staff. And this is not analytics or no computer-generated simulation or anything like that. It was just their predictions of who's going to win. And they have the Titans and the Jaguars tied at 10-7. And he basically says, look, I'm being the contrarian here. Most people are going to pick the Jaguars. And he said, maybe I'm just stupid. But he goes, I have to believe, because this is what it comes down to me. This is the point I think we should discuss. I have to believe, this is Connor Orr, that if Mike Vrabel thinks he can be competitive, he's going to be competitive. And that goes against the narrative that was around the league is, hey, the Titans are kind of in between. They should rebuild. Maybe it's time to rebuild. But, oh, wait, they just signed DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, wait, they held on to Kevin Byard. Oh, hey, you know, they still have Ryan Tannehill. So if Mike Vrabel thinks he can be competitive, he's going to find a way to be competitive. He goes, I also think that there's a team that can play the Jaguars tough twice a year and keep the ball out of Trevor Lawrence's hands. It's going to be the Titans. That's the thing about the Jaguars that people are wondering. They've got a lot of nice-looking parts. They got a fancy-looking car on offense. They should cook, especially, as you've said, Derek. They now have Calvin Ridley with an offense that was really good by the end of last year without Calvin Ridley. That could be a really, really good offense. But there's a lot of questions about their defense. Their defense is not great. So it's like, what's going to happen when the Titans play the Jaguars? Great offense or talented offense against a really good defense versus questionable offense versus questionable defense. That's an interesting matchup. So Connor Rohr is saying, look, you've got the Jaguars who have to play the first place schedule. You've got the Texans and the Colts in the division. And your other division you play is the NFC South, which is, you know, on paper, not the toughest NFC division, right? The Buccaneers, Carolina, Saints, you know, there's no clear Falcons, no clear-cut choice in that division either. So you could cobble your way into winning the games you're supposed to win, holding your own with the Jaguars, and you never know. That may be the pathway to 10-7. He's got a lot of belief that Vrabel can claw and scratch their way and overachieve a little bit.
I mean, yeah, it's this game is so unpredictable. You know, and whoever wins the division, it's going to be by a slim margin, I believe, with the top two teams and that third team not being too far behind. But they're clearly going to be out of the playoffs, I think, that third team by week, you know, 12, I believe. But the top two are going to continue to fight for the division right up until possibly the last game, which is the Jags and the Titans. I'm trying to see when Jaguars played Titans the first game, because they played them sort of back-to-back in a sense.
I'll show you what
December,
they
and then January they played Jacksonville. So they were hurt, basically, both times. But they did have their quarterback the first time that they played Jacksonville. What I look at in regards to this, I think the Titans are always going to be competitive. That's just who they are. I don't care. I mean, if you got a competent coach and they have a damn good coach, this is going to be a competitive team because of the foundation that they built, and they have upheld that foundation. Now, they're worse. You know, a season in there where they were not, you know, the Wisenhunt year or years, however you want to say it. But for the most part, even when they had bad seasons, they were competitive for the most part. Now, some games they did get blown out. But I look at this team from the standpoint of the defense is going to have to carry this team for the bulk of the season, I believe, until the offense start, you know, getting it rolling, because these guys hadn't played together in any meaningful games this season. I'm talking about all 11 starters on offense. So when their first time playing against one another is going to be when they go down to New Orleans, well, I believe it's going to take them a minute to get that offense going. It may take them a couple of weeks to get it going. But in the meantime, the defense got to be able to hold their own and pick up victories for the Titans in that fashion. But the notion, you know, I look at Jacksonville as the Tennessee Titans 4 or 5 years ago when Vrabel got here. When Vrabel got here, this was a good team, a playoff team, but they still needed to take another step. And the same thing people are saying about Jacksonville now are the things that they were saying about Tennessee then. You know, can Ryan Tannehill do it? Is he the guy? They just traded him away from the Miami Dolphins. Is he going to be able to resurrect his career here in Nashville? Is Derrick Henry ever going to be that back that we saw in Alabama? These were questions. Will they find receivers? Will Corey Davis be this guy? These were all the questions that were being asked of everybody, even us. And what happened? They went on a run. 2 or 3 years, they went on a run. I see Jacksonville the same way, and I don't understand why people just don't see that. Maybe they don't want to. Maybe they are looking at it from the standpoint of, I hope Jacksonville, please don't let Jacksonville get that good. But they are the Titans of 5 years ago. Damn good head coach, really good quarterback, some skilled guys, even though I think Jacksonville's a little bit further ahead because their skilled guys have been proven. Skilled guys, they got an offense. Their defense is the defense at work. What makes you think this team is not going to bounce back? This is not the Jacksonville team that went to the AFC Championship and then lost and then came back the next following year and was trash. Look who the quarterback was. That quarterback was horrible. Mm-hmm. No matter, and they didn't put the ball in his hands to win games. They relied on what? Their defense to win games. Now they have a quarterback. He's not even competent. He's an ascending quarterback that potentially that has the potential to be great, and we see it. So it's a little bit different from that standpoint in the Tennessee Titans. I just don't understand why people keep on going back to that Jacksonville team with Blake Bortles and saying, look at what they did then, and they had a great season, and look what they did the season after. They flopped. Because the quarterback was horrible when it came down to it. He was not good.
Are people talking about that?
Yes.
I think there's no benefit of doubt because they remember.
Exactly.
They don't give the Jaguars the benefit of the doubt because of their history.
Absolutely. And I get it. Mm-hmm. But those are the same things that they were saying about the Tennessee Titans when Vrabel took over. Can they do it? They got a quarterback that's been dismissed from another team. Can they do it? They don't have the receivers. Or if they do, they're young. Can they do it? Can Derrick Henry be that guy we saw in Alabama? These were all the questions that we were saying and asking.
Yeah.
Can that defense be a defense like they used to? And what happened? Everything came together, and they went on a run. Why is it so hard to believe that Jacksonville can't do that? Not saying that the Titans are not going to be good.
The odds makers have the over-under as Jacksonville at 9.5 mm-hmm. for wins and Tennessee more like 7.5, right? So the odds makers are a little leaning more towards you, D-Mates, but I think there's still always some hesitancy to give a team like that the benefit of the doubt. I think of the Buccaneers for a long, long time struggled. Yeah. Then Tony Dungy changed the way everybody thought about that. You know, for he put his stamp on it, and all of a sudden they had much more of a belief that they were going to start winning, and then the rest of the league sort of happened. When they first started winning, it was like, the Bucs? Really?
Yeah,
like the
Bucs?
It's
the not going to last.
The Bucs don't win games? Come
it's
on.
Not going to last.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is that that spot for the top in that division is going to be highly competitive. And people don't just assume that Jacksonville is going to take a step back, you know, just because they're the Jaguars. That was the Jaguars before Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence came into the picture. This is a different Jaguar team, just like that was the old Titans team before Vrabel took over and Ryan Tannehill became the quarterback. Now this is a new Titan team. This is a Titan team that ever since Vrabel and Tannehill has been paired together, more times than not, they have won the division, and people have looked at them as either Super Bowl contenders or will win the AFC South.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's continue this conversation coming up next. Again, Connor Orr on Monday Morning Quarterback ranked the divisions, predicted records for every team in the NFL. He has the Titans going 10-7 and winning the AFC South. Your reaction to this as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, and hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 5:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Durham Bulls, AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds Baseball and 94.9 The Fan presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. 1025-1063, The Game.
He talks about him too much.
Jared.
Yeah, Jaguar Jared. There it is. Caroline
Jaguar
Game of the Day.
Jaguar Jared.
Yes.
J-A-G-S. Jags.
Not Jared Jr. Jaguar Jared.
Jaguar Jared probably hates this Monday Morning Quarterback article from Connor Orr that has the Titans winning the AFC South. Because I know Jaguar Jared is just rooting for Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson and his Jaguars faithful to bring home the division yet again. Jaguar Jared. But again, this is a Monday Morning Quarterback, Connor Orr, predicted the outcome for every NFL team and picked the winner for each division. He has both the Titans and the Jags going 10-7 on the season, with the Titans splitting games against Houston, which doesn't sound like, if I'm going to predict games, I would look at it and say the Titans should beat the Texans twice. That's never how it ends up. No. Never. The Titans always find a way to drop some stupid game that they're not supposed to drop within the division. He also has the Titans sweeping Indianapolis and splitting with the Jags. But when Connor Orr breaks down each team in the AFC South, mm-hmm. he highlights two aspects of this Titans season that I don't think that we look at enough, or maybe, you know, national people really look at enough. And it's two important factors. One is the Vrabel factor. I think that that gives the Titans an advantage for a lot of the games on their schedule. I know Doug Peterson is a great coach as well. When Vrabel plays the Chiefs or the Patriots, maybe the coach edge doesn't give, you know, have as much weight. But I think that the Vrabel factor absolutely is in play here, that Mike Vrabel always finds a way to win games that he's really not supposed to. On the other side of that, though, the Titans always find ways to lose games that they're not supposed to lose. But I think the Vrabel, I mean, Mike Vrabel is one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in the NFL, and you have to give them an edge there.
I think the perception, the credibility he has with yes. some of the people that make the predictions, I don't know if I would say admiration, but mm-hmm. people tend to really like what Mike Vrabel does, and sometimes they give him a little benefit of the doubt yeah. when they're making predictions. I do think that that is a thing, whereas let's take the Chargers, mm-hmm. right? There's a little bit of, hey, they've underachieved the last few years, so am I really going to back the Chargers? Even though the Chargers have a way deeper, more talented roster than a lot of teams, mm-hmm. right? That's what they have to figure out.
But
so
they've
that's
got a
temptation.
Head coach that makes doofy decisions.
I think that's been the label on them, probably rightfully so. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's interesting when you're trying to, and we'll probably do predictions, right? Before we'll, like everybody else, we'll make our, when you do this exercise in the AFC, other than the Colts and the Texans, who, by the way, Connor Orr has the Colts at 8-9 somehow. I don't know how he's got that. He's got the Titans at 10-7, the Jags 10-7. And the Colts at 8-9. That's really weird.
A good 8-9 and
a fun 8-9. I guess that's Anthony Richardson and all of that. But there's not a whole lot of teams in the AFC that aren't bringing something to the table. Like even the Broncos, mm-hmm. who were, they had the nightmare last year. But now they've got Sean Payton. There's at least some reason to believe. They have a good defense, or had a good defense last year. And if they could figure something out with Russell Wilson, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but they're not a gimme. Mm-hmm. So the AFC is very balanced. So, you know, the Jets in the move with Rodgers. The Dolphins are an intriguing team that you can say, wow, they could look really good. Mm-hmm. The Steelers, you know, are they a bad team? No, the Steelers are never a bad team. Mm-hmm. The Browns, they got a pretty good offensive line. They got a pretty good defensive line. Mm-hmm. They're bringing something to the table if they can get it together with you-know-who at quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like the AFC is tricky.
Who we will not name.
it's a tricky conference from top to bottom. There's not a ton of difference between, say, team number 3 that you're going to rank and team number 11.
The AFC just has, you know, at least as it looks now, the AFC has the tougher teams, the better teams from top to bottom.
And I don't even think that it's close.
Yeah,
You know, the NFC has the Eagles and the 49ers from what we know, and that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, you could throw some other teams in there, but if you're just looking at it, if you're talking about teams that could possibly make the Super Bowl, you would name, if you just kind of threw out the divisions, you would name, not necessarily throughout divisions, if you just say, okay, who has the best odds at making the Super Bowl, regardless of what division? I think you'll have more AFC teams than NFC teams.
Maybe even double or triple the number of AFC teams than NFC teams.
I look at this, and you know, Connor in his records, I think it'll be close. I think the Titans must stay healthy. And I think I did this months ago. When you start comparing the two teams in their rosters, if you're comparing the quarterbacks, I mean, if you're looking for experience, then we got Ryan Tannehill, who's a good quarterback. But if I'm looking for the upside and the guy that, you know, that seems like he's trending in the right direction, then I'm taking Trevor Lawrence to start. You look at the running back position, I think the Titans have a better running back room than the Jacksonville Jaguars, not that far behind. I think Derrick Henry, his ability to run the football, separates himself from everybody. But I think, you know, Jacksonville has some really good runners. Receivers, I think Jacksonville, from top to bottom, their receivers are better. But D-Hop is the best receiver of them all. But the Jags have the better roster. I mean, better receiver room to me.
And I think that the Titans could have the potential to compete with the Jags.
Yeah.
Depending on what Treylon Burks can do.
They do, yes. But I'm looking at – and then the head coaches. To me, the head coaches are a wash. They are. I take either one of them. If you have Pitt, you take Vrabel first, give me Peterson. If you take Peterson first, hell, give me Vrabel. I don't care. One has a Super Bowl as a coach. One has Super Bowls, plural, as a player.
And even though Vrabel doesn't have the hardware that Doug Peterson has, Vrabel is such a good tactician.
Yeah, and that's why I say, to me, there's no advantage from one coach to the other. At least from my standpoint, there's no advantage from one coach to the other, because one coach took a team and made them better. The other coach took a team and made them better. I think what separates the two is the experience. The Jags have a bunch of young players that they rely on heavily. The Titans have a bunch of older players that they're going to rely on heavily. Mm-hmm. If everything's stay equal, nobody gets injured, like miss games, then you got to lean more toward Titans and their experience when it comes to later on in the season. You lean on that experience. But then you look at the Jaguars team, and they got some explosive players that are young. So, to me, it's going to be a toss-up this whole season. And, you know, in order to win this division, you're going to have to win the games you're supposed to win. And we know the Titans, for whatever reason, they always end up losing one or two games they're not supposed to lose. If you just look at the roster and look at the head coach and look at what's going on, the Titans should win that game. The Giants, Titans should win, but they didn't. That's what's going to separate the Titans from the Jags. Can the Titans win the games they're supposed to win? Like, we know they're supposed to win. Or are they going to be the Titans and drop games every year? One or two games they drop that everybody thinks, okay, yeah, they're going to win that game. Then they go into the game, they end up losing.
And we'll do our own predictions, absolutely. But just looking at Connor Orr's predictions, he doesn't have the Titans winning all the games that they're supposed to win. I would say, you know, Carolina with a rookie quarterback, that's a game that you should win. And Connor Orr has the Titans dropping that game. Seattle, I mean, you could probably go either way, but with that game being at home and give the edge to the Titans, Connor Orr has the Titans dropping that game. But I look at Pittsburgh and at Miami, those are two games that I would give the advantage to Miami and to Pittsburgh, that Connor Orr has the Titans winning those games.
Well, they're going to have to if he have them, you know, has them losing to and Carolina, you know.
And that's the key, is can you win the AFC games that you aren't supposed to win in addition to the AFC games that you should win?
What I noticed about how he flowed the 10-7 was he had a 1-3 start, which turns into 2-4, which turns into 5-6. And then a strong finish, winning 5 of the last 6, including Jacksonville on the last day of the season, to get to 10-7. So it was interesting how he arrived at how that would go, because we have seen that before. I believe it was the 2019 season where that's almost exactly how it went. I think they were 5-6, if I remember correctly, and had a very strong finish. Derrick Henry flipped the switch and started going off and running for 150 or 200 yards every week, it seemed like, in December. You know, that is a great formula that has been successful for them before.
Yeah.
Let's see if they can still do it. The old greatest hits. You know, Derrick Henry in December.
Play
is that the name of the song? Derrick Henry in December.
Play the greatest hits. Yeah. Play them.
Play the hits.
Play the hits.
Also, Connor Orr has the Panthers sweeping the AFC South. He has the Panthers beating all four teams in the South, but the Panthers
Connor
still
is
going
not
seven,
afraid to take some chances.
7-10
and he
for
will
the
admit
Panthers.
That. Yeah.
Over half of the Panthers projected wins are for the AFC South.
Oh, well, there you go.
the Panthers would win the AFC South, but he has them third in their own division.
Exactly, man. Okay.
Great. All right. Pop off, Bryce Young. Do your thing. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Hey, we are your racing station. 1025 and 1063. The game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday for the Cookout Southern 500 beginning at 4 p.m. NASCAR on 1025 and 1063. The game is presented by O'Charley's. 1025, 1063. The game. Caroline, Willie, D-Base is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Breaking down Connor Orr's Monday morning quarterback, where he has his predictions for each NFL team, their record, and who will win each division. So let's do some predictions of our own. Willie, our official commissioner of the AFC and NFC previews, what do we got first?
All right, so let's take a look at a couple of teams that are going to be in this mix here. It's the impossible task is to predict this league year in and year out, which makes it so compelling. The Browns are an interesting team. We touched on them. Like they're not a team that's getting talked about much. I think the Deshaun Watson thing has a lot of people saying, well, do we really want to talk about them? Do we have to talk about them? But I found a very interesting prediction on the Browns from Aaron Schatz. And his analytics team, he does over-under wins, and he does postseason odds. Now, for example, he's got the Titans around 8.5 wins, postseason odds about 30%, give or take a little bit. That's analytics. He has the Browns, mean projection of wins, 10.5. Postseason odds, 64.4. His numbers like the Browns. And it's interesting, because I don't think a lot of people are buying into that, especially with the division they play in. Lamar Jackson coming back with a healthy Ravens team. You got Joe Burrow in that division. You have the Steelers, who are always scrappy. Can you guys see the Browns winning 10, 11 games? He says yes, they can do it.
I mean, they have the personnel, regardless of, you know, the off-field stuff that went on with Deshaun Watson, and I know it's kind of hard to not discuss him and the off-field things, but, you know, in regards to his play, he's still a damn good quarterback in this league. I'm taking last season, and that was just – I'm throwing that season out of the window. A guy that missed six games, still was trying to get acclimated to an offense. They didn't have as many playmakers from an offensive standpoint. So it was, you didn't see the best version of Deshaun Watson last season. I'm just going to put that in the category by itself. I expect him to be better. You know, and some people probably don't want him to be better considering what happened off the field. I get it. That's your prerogative. You can think that way. No problem. But defensively, hell of a defense. One of the best defenses in the National Football League. Offense, that's where if this team is going to take that step at making the playoffs, because of this division, the division they're in is so just – it's just a tough division to play in regardless of – you know, even if you didn't have a quarterback, it's still – y'all play one another so much, it's still going to be tough games to win. And I've been in many of those games against Cleveland and Cincinnati and, you know, whoever else is in that division with the Ravens, Pittsburgh. But if you look at their offense, they got a really good offense. Now, if they can put it all together from an offensive standpoint, they got weapons at the quarterback position, weapon at the running back position, weapon at the receiver position, tight end position. They have weapons down the board, and their offensive line is better. What makes you think this is not going to be a good team? Now, the division they play in, they're going to beat each other up. So that may be the reason why they don't make the playoffs. But this is a good Browns team from top to bottom. They, you know, that's just the way I see it.
I think, too, people saw – they see talent. Miles Garrett, Nick Chubb, by the way. You know, so they should be able to run the ball. Their offensive line looks talented. But they also made a key change, too. Now the guy running their defense is Jim Schwartz. Mm-hmm. I think they looked at talent on defense, but the numbers weren't great on defense, mm-hmm. maybe not as good as they potentially could be. Now with him running it, maybe he puts his stamp on it and they're even better. But when you can run it, even with Jacoby Brissett, like they could look pretty good mm-hmm. last week at times or last year. Now with the new dynamic of Watson from the beginning of the season, I'm curious what that's going to look like. Also, this is another argument of Aaron Schatz. They like the schedule, even though the division schedule is very tough. They get the last place schedule. They play the AFC South, mm-hmm. so there could be some W's there. And they play the NFC West, which you know has the Cardinals. It's got the Rams, who've got a lot of questions. Are the Seahawks that great? You know, and then obviously the 49ers. But there could be some W's in there to offset how tough their division is. So I can see the argument. I think that's a really big-time dark horse team in the Browns, as I see it.
I think the Browns have a ton of talent on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. And they've invested draft picks into building up their defense, building up the secondary. I think Nick Chubb, I don't think we talk about Nick Chubb enough when we talk about the Browns. He's one of those guys that's like, oh yeah, duh, Nick Chubb's on that team.
He still play for them, yes.
Elijah Moore now in Cleveland. I like that addition into the passing game. Like Cleveland's got some weapons now. And while their opponents on their schedule, I don't think necessarily, you know, make you shake in your boots, I don't love how the Browns schedule is kind of panned out. I mean, you go on the road at Indianapolis in week 7, and then you've got a long road trip at Seattle. Hmm. And then, you know, you've got back-to-back West Coast games at Denver, at the Rams. I would assume they're just going to stay out on the West Coast, but that's kind of a grind mm-hmm. to be out for 2 weeks after a long road trip. And then they finish the season with the Bengals. And I have to assume, I mean, you're going to be pretty banged up there against a Bengals team that may or may not be playing for anything at that point. They may have the division locked up. So I think that they've got tough road trips, and the way that it's scheduled is kind of difficult. And with the Browns, I mean, that division, that might be, besides the AFC East, the toughest division in football. I mean, that's hard. It's going to be hard to win a handful of in-division games. So I do think that the Browns have a good bit of talent, but just given the division, 8-9 wins might be in the realm of possibility for the Browns, and that just might not be good enough to cut it in this AFC.
I'm not even looking for Cincinnati. I'm not marking Cincinnati as the sure winner of that division either.
I'm not either.
I'm not. I think every team has gotten better within the division, and Cincinnati had to fight to win the division last year, you know? If not for a, you know, just a crazy fumble, they are put out the playoffs by the Baltimore Ravens.
And Joe Burrow health concerns.
And Joe Burrow bigger paycheck.
Money. Yeah.
So less money to go around for the rest of the pieces. Yeah. That's always an adjustment a team has to make when you have a great quarterback.
So I don't just pencil in Cincinnati as the team to win that division. The dark horse,
I would pick them to win the division, but I don't think that it's
set in
stone.
I'm not even picking them to win the division. The dark horse to me is Pittsburgh. I just look at them for the same reasons, you know, we love Vrabel and what he can get out of his team. I just think Mike Tomlin is that and more. And you can never count out that Pittsburgh Steelers team.
Kenny Pickett's looked legit.
Yeah, and he's looked really good. The receivers are looking good. Run game is tough. The defense, we know what they can do. So this division is just going to beat themselves up. And I would even go so far as to say the winner of this division may win 9 games. 9, maybe 10.
Just because they're beating everybody
else? Yeah, just because they're beating each other up, and they're going to have to get the wins outside of the division to see how to separate themselves. Whoever wins the division.
Maybe so. Willie, NFC side of things.
NFC side, I decided to pick the Bears today. And one of the things that I hear a lot about the Bears in the chatter,
they're Bears,
is can Justin Fields not only take a jump, but a big jump? They could take a pretty big jump this year and still win 6 or 7 games mm-hmm. as opposed to 3, which mm-hmm. is what they won. Like they had the first pick, right? And they traded it. So I don't know that I'm saying the Browns are going to jump up to the top of the division, but I think the key for the Browns the Bears this year is, does Justin Fields take another step forward where he cuts down on mistakes? Now They gave him a legitimate wide receiver. Mm-hmm. They traded the first round, the first pick in the draft to the Panthers, and among other things in the trade, they got DJ Moore. So you put him with everybody he had last year. I picked up Justin Fields off the waiver wire in my fantasy draft, and I ended up playing him a ton because he was putting up numbers.
Yeah.
But they weren't winning any of the games. He was running for 100 yards, throwing for 150, a couple of touchdowns in there, but some big mistakes at key times would cost them. They had a bad defense, which also helped the fantasy numbers, right? Because the game was going up and down, mm-hmm. and it was high scoring.
You're throwing it all over the yard.
So a year later, as you're trying to do a little bit, a lot of people compare him to Jalen Hurts. And there were some signs, and we should take the wins and loss out of it, but from a fantasy, from a production standpoint, Jalen Hurts started to come on 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you're like, hey, Jalen Hurts is making some progress. Remember, they snuck into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You're like, hey, Jalen Hurts, what's next? And then he put it all together last year, mm-hmm. albeit with great talent around him. I wonder what Fields looks like as he came on last year, and now it looks like he's got an improved program around him. So what does that look like?
Well, you hope it looks good. I mean, if you're judging it by, his skill players, he has probably one of the top receiving cores in the league. You know, Darnell Mooney, who I like a lot. I liked him coming out of Tulane. Chase Claypool, who they got from the Steelers. And then DJ Moore, as you mentioned, Willie, they got in the trade
MVP
for the Jets.
MVP of game one of the preseason.
Exactly. Absolutely. So this team, now the problem, I think what's going to be the difference here is their offensive line. If they can, they went out and drafted the kid out of UT with their first pick. I think it was Darnell Wright, 13th mm-hmm. overall, somewhere around there. So they're trying to, build up this offensive line because they believe they have the talent this year with the run from the running backs to the receivers and the tight ends. They believe they have enough talent to win in this division. But it all predicates on whether this offensive line, because they were bad last year. Mm-hmm. This offensive
line
was bad. Yeah. And if they can get half, better play than they got last year because of the weapons that they added in the offseason, this should be a better team than what they were last year.
I think that everyone wants Justin Fields to have that breakout year. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants Justin Fields to really, realize all of the potential that he had coming out of Ohio State. And I'm not saying that can or cannot happen. I'm just saying I haven't seen that mm-hmm. yet from Justin Fields. So I think that Chicago has done, I'm not going to say enough to get him there, but they have tried this offseason to, one, get him the protection, and two, get him the weapons to make this a better team. I don't think that the Chicago is going to be as miserable of a football team as they were last year. I just don't see them quite yet as a playoff team. But we'll hear from Rand Carthon tomorrow morning. We'll hear from Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, their thoughts on the 53-man roster. So what do we want to hear from Rand Carthon tomorrow morning? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. So the Titans released their initial 53-man roster yesterday, and they've already seen some changes. The Titans have picked up kicker Cade York on the practice squad. They have also signed Kendall Vildor, who was most recently with the Chicago Bears, a cornerback that they're bringing in. So we're already going to see a little bit of shift. And we're going to hear from Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon tomorrow morning. Rand Carthon kicks it off, and then Mike Vrabel will follow. We don't hear from Rand a ton, so I do want to kind of kick it around the room. What do we want to hear from Rand Carthon tomorrow? I know one thing for me is one thing that we've talked about is what does that collaboration look like between Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel in their first stint of making a 53-man roster, of roster construction going into the season? What were those conversations like? And he's not going to tell you, yeah, you know what? Mike was a real butthead, and he gets final say, and I didn't get to say anything. He's not going to tell you that. But I do wonder, you know, just kind of how that process has gone and how that relationship, that collaboration relationship has grown from the draft now to the 53-man roster.
It'd be like, well, I wasn't going to say anything, but damn, Mike takes up all the air in the room when he walks in. And
I was actually at the beach yesterday. I forgot that we had to submit a roster.
Exactly. Like, goodness. No, but I would love to hear in regards to the 11 first-year guys they chose to keep, what went into that? Has he experienced that on any other team where he has had, like, this is a big group of – and now I don't know what other teams are doing with their first-year guys and undrafted guys. But it just seems like for the Titans – and I could be wrong. This is like a big – class for like first year guys on your team. So what went into that decision of keeping 11 guys, all your draft picks, and then five UDFAs? So what went into that? Did they show out that much, or did they jump out on screen that much that you decided to keep those guys rather than maybe some veteran guys? Mm-hmm. So I would love to hear his answer on that. So, Rand, if you listen, I know you are.
he loves the show.
Yeah, he loves the show. So please give up that answer, please. I would love to hear it.
Along the same lines, Rand, if you're listening, the debate we had about is it worth trading a draft pick for a kicker, I hope he goes into some of the thought process of why specifically Nick Folk was the right guy. I wonder if he'll get into the fact that his salary was a little more doable than some of the other veteran kickers that maybe you'd have to wait a little longer to get. I'm curious about that. I think that's a really interesting decision that they made. And then on top of it today, they grab a more futures guy, or maybe insurance policy, or both, and a young kicker in Cade York.
A developmental kicker in Cade York. And, yeah, I mean, we were kind of throwing around yesterday, and D-Base and I were kind of joking around that, yay, they traded a pick for a kicker. But, I mean, the truth remains is we don't know if Nick Folk is going to be any better than Randy Bullock. We can hope that he's going to be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a good point that you bring up, Willie, is why they decided to go ahead and invest the pick in Nick Folk. And it's a 2025 seventh-round pick. Like, I don't – like, whatever. You know, I don't know how many seventh-round picks the Titans have even had in, like, the last 3 to 5 years. But why go ahead and make the trade rather than wait, knowing that there were going to be 3, 4, 5, maybe even more serviceable kickers with NFL experience that were going to be available today without having to trade a pick? Why make that decision? Why Nick Folk? You know, were you forced into that decision because every other team was making a run on the kickers? Was he your guy from the jump and you just wanted to go ahead and make that move? Like, I don't know. And that's what I'd like to hear his perspective on, because it's an important position, an important position that this team just hasn't found an answer to in far too long.
Another one I would love to hear his insights on is his plan for not just the backup quarterback, but the two backup quarterbacks, both young, both critical to the future success of the franchise, because how they do is going to dictate what moves Rand Carthon is going to make in the next 2 or 3 years. You know, do they have to go search for another quarterback, or is one of these guys the answer? And then all the dominoes that fall. So I'd love to hear his plan to try to make those guys better behind the scenes, because we've talked to everybody. You've talked about it, D-Mace. Tim echoed a lot of what you said. It's hard to develop young quarterbacks during the season.
Yeah, once the season gets going, it's hard to, because one, he's not getting, even a second string guy, he's not getting as many of the reps, because all the reps you want to go to your starter. And then how do I now go out and, you know, get better as a quarterback? Well, you're going to have to, you know, do it through scout team. And those two guys are going to be fighting, not necessarily fighting, but they're going to want their moment with the scout team.
They're fighting.
Exactly. They're fighting. So how do you develop a quarterback once the season starts, a young quarterback once the season starts? Because it's hard. Because coaches are not taking – they're not spending that much time on trying to develop that young quarterback because we got games to win.
And they're trying to develop two quarterbacks.
Exactly, right. Two right now.
That's going to do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. We'll hear from Rand Carth and Mike Vrabel tomorrow morning. Stillman and Company is up next.
Be love and love on your people. Peace.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.